Welcome back to Mastering Defence Infrastructure. This is episode 15, Capture Planning, Winning Before the Tender. I'm Darian Macy, and as always, I'm joined by Jessica Bottlebrush. Hey Jess, how's it going?
Hey Darian, I'm good, thanks. And a big welcome to all our DECnet Pro members working through the 30-week course, plus everyone tuning in on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Glad you're with us.
Absolutely. Now, if you caught last week's episode, we dug into pre-tender engagement strategies, market sounding, mapping out defence and PMCA contacts, and how to approach those conversations before the RFT even drops. That's really the groundwork for what we're talking about today, right?
Yeah, exactly. Today, we're taking it a step further, how you actually plan to win work before the tender's even out there. It's not just about being in the right place at the right time. It's about having a plan and positioning yourself early. So let's get into it. So Darian, I think a lot of people still underestimate just how much of the win happens before the tender's even released. I mean, industry veterans say 40 to 60% of defence clients have already formed a preference for a provider before proposals are even submitted. That's wild, but it matches what I've seen.
Yeah, it's huge. And it's not just a rumour. If you're not engaging early, you're basically playing catch-up. The folks who are monitoring defence white papers, keeping an eye on infrastructure investment programme updates, or even just chatting with their network, they're the ones who get the early signals. I always say, if you're waiting for the RFT to show up on Austender, you're already behind.
Totally. And Austender's not just for current tenders either. I've had a few wins just by tracking those advance notices and procurement plans. There was this regional airbase upgrade a couple of years back. I spotted a future opportunity notice, set up an alert, and started reaching out to the base's facilities manager. By the time the RFT came out, we'd already had a couple of informal chats, and I knew exactly what their pain points were. That early engagement made all the difference.
That's a great example. And it's not just about documents and alerts either. Industry briefings, market sounding sessions, even a casual coffee with someone in the know, those are gold. I mean, obviously, you've got to stay within ethical boundaries, but your network is your early warning system. If you're not hearing about opportunities informally, you're missing out on half the market.
And don't forget those internal strategy sessions. Sometimes just sitting down with your team and asking what's coming up, what contracts are expiring in the next year or two, that can surface opportunities you'd otherwise miss. It's all about being proactive, not reactive.
All right, so let's talk about what a capture plan actually is. It's not just a checklist. It's your roadmap for winning a specific opportunity before the tender even lands. You're looking at the opportunity overview, client analysis, your win themes, and of course, competitor insights. It's structured, but it's also a living document. You update it as you go.
Yeah, and the SER matrix is a big part of that. Solution, experience, resources. You're matching what the client needs with what you can actually deliver and being honest about any gaps. And then there's the bid-no-bid gates. I know some people think that's just for big companies, but even small teams need to ask, is this worth chasing? Do we have a real shot?
Exactly. I remember when we were gearing up for the PDS contract, 10 years, $1 billion, massive scope. We built a multidisciplinary capture team, sector leads, technical SMEs, project managers, even a dedicated bid coordinator. Everyone had a defined role and a timeline for their actions. We had regular check-ins and every milestone was mapped out. It wasn't glamorous, but it meant when the RFT finally dropped, we weren't scrambling. We'd already done the heavy lifting.
And that's the thing. If you've got your capture plan sorted, you're not just reacting to the tender. You're shaping it, you're influencing requirements, and you're making sure your team is ready to go. It's the bridge between business development and actually writing the proposal. So let's get into what actually makes you stand out to defence clients. It's not just about price. Defence is super risk averse. They want to know you can deliver on time, that you're financially stable, and that you understand their compliance requirements. If you're missing a key accreditation or you've never worked in defence before, that's a red flag for them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people underestimate how much past performance matters. If you've delivered something similar before, especially for defence or a comparable client, make sure you've got a tight case study ready. I've seen teams tip the scales on a major defence housing contract just by showing a tailored risk mitigation plan and referencing a project where they delivered ahead of schedule. It's not about being flashy, it's about being credible and relevant.
And don't forget innovation, but only if it actually solves a problem the client cares about. I've seen people pitch innovation for its own sake and it just falls flat. But if you've got a unique approach that genuinely addresses a defence hot button, like a logistics plan for a remote site or a new way to manage surge capacity, bring that to the front. That's what gets attention.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's the people that make the difference. If you've got a former defense project manager on your team or someone with deep experience in the specific type of work, get them involved early. Defense wants to see that you understand their world, not just that you can build something. And if you're up against an incumbent or a big player, you need to be crystal clear on your differentiators, whether that's local presence, a better safety record, or just being more agile and responsive.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to map your strengths directly to the client's worries. If you know they're nervous about delivery timelines, show them your track record. If they're worried about unproven tech, bring in a partner or offer a pilot. It's all about making them feel confident you're the safe pair of hands.
All right, let's wrap it up. For our DECnet Pro members, don't forget to complete the exercises for this week. Draft a simple capture plan, map out your team, and start thinking about your differentiators. It's all about putting this into practice, not just listening.
And if you enjoyed the episode, give us a like, comment, or share. We love hearing your feedback and questions.
Next time, we're diving even deeper into building those key relationships before the tender drops. Honestly, that's where a lot of the magic happens in defense procurement, so you won't want to miss it.
Thanks for joining us, Darian, and thanks to everyone listening. Keep up the proactive momentum, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thanks, Jess. Always a pleasure. See you all next time on Mastering Defense Infrastructure. Bye for now.